are Locked On Bengals, your daily Cincinnati Bengals podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What up, Bengals fans, and welcome to another episode of the Locked On Bengals podcast. I'm your host, Jake Lisco. He's your host, James Rapine. We're coming to you, well, from Cincinnati for once, for me, as we get started here on a Wednesday night for a Thursday night game. The final injury report is out, James, and that's where we're going to start before we get into some interesting notes to talk about for the Jags game. We'll get there in the second segment. We cross over with Tony Wiggins from Locked On Jags. In the third segment, that's just James and Tony bringing you all the insight from the Jacksonville Jaguars and the train wreck that is Urban Meyer's early tenure in the NFL. But we're going to get started with the injury report because suddenly Jesse Bates, who finished the game, didn't even miss a play, I don't think, against the Steelers that I recall, missed practice this week with a neck injury that he clearly sustained on a tackle that you could see he was slow to get up from. And he's not going to play after not practicing all week. T. Higgins supposedly got another evaluation done on Tuesday, according to a report. He didn't practice this week. He's also been declared out. And Chido Awuzie is doubtful. And so you would expect that he won't play as he's trying to deal with a groin injury. They get Trey Waynes back. He had no injury designation whatsoever, so that means he's going to play. So you lose one corner, you lose a safety, you gain a corner. And I guess that's the trade-off that the Bengals will make for week four.
Yeah, and it's worth noting too, Riley Reiff, good to go. He's all set. He's going to start. And it felt that way because he returned. But I don't really know because T. Higgins returned now 2 weeks ago in Chicago, and now he's missing his second straight game. Bates is out. And this stinks on a short week to have these deficiencies because, one, you just have less time to figure out exactly what you're going to do, and you have less time to heal. Maybe Higgins would be able to go if it was a Sunday game. Maybe Chido might have a shot to go. And really, today would have been the first day of practice all week. Wednesday would have been. And now they have to make decisions on these guys. And so there's so many veterans that usually don't practice on Wednesday after they get nicked up, practice Thursday, and they still have 3 days to get ready for a Sunday game. So that's the downside of Thursday night football. But of all of them, Jake, the fact that you still have Riley Reiff, we're not going to be talking about Isaiah Prince, barring something unforeseen or, you know, Reiff getting dinged up again at right tackle. I think that's huge. And can they find a way to cover up or hide the hole at safety for a week? That's the question. I think you'll see Sean Davis elevated from the practice squad again, and then you're probably going to see some Brandon Wilson at safety, and balancing that out is going to be something that Lou Anarumo and the Bengals defense has to do.
Yeah. I wonder, I guess this would be Sean Davis's last elevation, or maybe he has one more. You only get three, right?
This would be his third as well. Yep.
Yeah. So I think this would be their last chance to upgrade him from the practice squad to the active roster. So if they need him after this week, they'll have to find a roster spot for him. So you hope that nothing with Jesse Bates is that serious, but that's kind of the thing is on a short week where, like you point out, James, this would have been their first day of practice. If it was a regular week, like maybe some of these guys would be okay if they had the extra, 4 days to get ready for the game on Sunday, or 3 days. And since it is a short week, and since they did have these injuries recently with a mini bye week coming up after Thursday night, it makes a lot of sense not to rush these guys back. And that's one of the reasons that I'm not expecting Chido Awuzie to play, just because if you have a long week after a short week, you just try to get by. Right. You try to get by with your defense. You try to get by with a healthy offense. You mentioned Riley Reiff not on the injury report. And that's a big deal because they really, I think, need these offensive linemen to continue to play together, to continue to gel together, to continue trying to take steps in the right direction. And you saw how Joe Burrow looked when he had decent protection against Pittsburgh, when they kept him clean. He played a fantastic game, you know, interception aside on the tipped pass. He played really well. And so if they can do that again against a Jacksonville Jaguars team that doesn't present much of a threat from a pass rush perspective, Roy Roberts and Harris not even playing for them this week, you know, that could be good news for this offense. And then you just take the pressure off your defense, which, by the way, is still relatively healthy outside of the secondary, where certainly they're dinged up. But the strength of this defense has been the interior defensive line, and those guys remain healthy.
Yeah, that's a really good point, because to me, the two keys there, one, Joe Burrow looked as mobile as we've seen him post-injury on Sunday against the Steelers. Assuming he's that, maybe it's time to take those shackles off his shoulders and let him go, right? And let him, you know, unleash, let him cook, as they say of Russell Wilson. Maybe you let Joe cook a little bit against the defense in Jacksonville, that you're right, has been susceptible to downfield stuff, big plays. And it's not like there aren't plenty of you that love Auden Tate. Well, maybe this is an Auden Tate game with Mike Thomas right there as well. And you got Tyler Boyd in the slot and Jamar Chase the way he's playing. So there's still plenty of weapons. And something we talked about at Knockback Next on Tuesday night, Jake, is this a tight end week? Like, could CJ Uzama maybe get a, you know, more than one ball? I mean, I think you could. I think you could see the tight ends get in the mix a little bit too. But yeah, can Joe Burrow and these Bengals get off to not only a hot start on offense, but really push the ball down the field and push the envelope? Because if that's the case and the Jaguars are trailing early, then that defensive line is going to be able to really tee off and force the Jags to pass it, because they run the ball really well. Two running backs averaging over 5 yards a carry. But if you can force Trevor Lawrence to force the ball downfield, maybe you can still create a couple turnovers and put him in bad situations.
Yeah, and we can talk about some of the keys to the game and some of the things we're expecting out of the matchup. I guess we'll get to that next. Let's quickly talk about my first 24, not even 24 hours yet in Cincinnati. I got in last night at 8:30 p.m. We're recording this now at 4 p.m. And James was gracious enough to pick me up from the airport. We went straight to Knockback Nats, had some smoked wings, met up with Mo Egger today for lunch at Skyline. I went for a walk to Holtman's Donuts this afternoon with Commissioner Yaz, got some donuts, and, you know, we're having a good
donuts?
Time.
Y'all got donuts extra. Without me?
I got extra. You want one? I'll bring one tonight.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
We're hours away as we record this from our...
I'm about to tweet. Look, I'm about to tweet if you're on YouTube. Look, I'm on the Locked On Bengals YouTube. So people get on me on YouTube once in a while for being on my phone. This is an important message. I'm about to
send. Yeah, a couple player. Hours away from our trip down to the Flying Pig. I'm going to go meet up with Joe Goodberry for dinner and his family down at the banks. Excited for that. And it's been fun. It's been cool being back in Cincinnati. And, you know, people see my Bengal brain hat here, and they know that, you know, I'm going to the Bengals game. They're like, what's that? Why do you have a skull on your head? And why is it orange and black? So it's been nice to be back in town. We also made it up to Rivertown Inquiry, and maybe we'll talk a little bit about Rivertown Inquiry here before we get to our keys to the game and some of these matchups for guys that aren't injured that matter. So we've talked about Rivertown Inquiry, of course. You've heard us talk about it. They've been sponsoring the podcast. They have great shirts. Was in the store today. They have a great selection of Cincinnati-themed gear, and I was really tempted to get multiple shirts because I actually don't have much Cincinnati gear, and if you're one of those people that has pride in your city, then you should just go check it out, because they're going to have a shirt that you love. They're all great shirts. You can tell they're made with passion. The guy really cares about what he's doing. And we had a good time meeting Doug today, and they're open 4 days, 5, 6 days a week. Wow. Really butchered that one. 6 days a week from Tuesday to Sunday, 10 to 6 on the weekdays, 10 to 5 on Saturday, 11 to 4 on Sunday. You can get a cool shirt like the one that I'm wearing here. You've seen James Rapine wear it too. And you might see a new shirt that might have a lock on it sometime in the near future if you go check them out at Rivertown Inquiry. So if you shop online, rivertowninquiry.com, you've got a promo code LOCKEDON10. You'll get 10% off your order. So make sure you use that promo code if you order online. Or if you go in and check out the shop, 3096 Madison Road in Oakley, let them know we sent you and tell Doug hello for us. And really love the store. Really hope you guys get out there and check it out.
You should absolutely check it out. You should also take that smartphone of yours right now, whether it's an iPhone, whether it's an Android, and go to the App Store, go to Google Play, and download GetUpside. It is the app everyone that buys gas, that fills up their tank, that you need to know about, because you're going to save up to 25 cents for every gallon of gas every time you fill up. And right now, with promo code Touchdown, you're going to get a bonus 25 cents per gallon on your first fill up. So that's up to 50 cents per gallon that you're going to save with GetUpside. There's no gimmicks. It doesn't cost to download this app. It's just free money, which you can t-
take the Rivertown Inquiry and get a little Cincinnati swag. So right now, go to the App Store or go to Google Play and type in Get Upside, GETUPSIDE, promo code touchdown to save money right now.
You know, at Rivertown Inquiry, the other thing I didn't mention right before we get into the keys of the game, if you're watching on YouTube, I'm holding up my Bengals brain hat, which, by the way, with the green underside, fits great with the green and orange on this white t-shirt, because I got the orange on the hat and the green. Anyway, it's a really good ensemble. They're going to have some Bengals brain hats in stock if you go by the store that Joe Goodberry is delivering. So you can check that out as well at their shop. So James, keys of the game. Let's get into this, right? We started to allude to it. Trevor Lawrence, rookie quarterback, right? The Bengals historically, and some people have pointed this out in our comments, have had issues with rookie quarterbacks in the past. You know, the one that stands out to me, not to get too anecdotal, and we'll get back into this game, but Joe Flacco.
Oh, okay.
Joe Flacco was this rookie out of Delaware. And I'm like, man, there's no way that the Bengals are going to lose to some quarterback out of Delaware. Who even is this guy? And then they lost that game. And I think Joe Flacco had a pretty good game. We all know who Trevor Lawrence is. He obviously has a ton of talent. He's had issues trying to force the ball downfield, trying to do too much, trying to play a little bit of hero ball. And without Jesse Bates back there to punish those mistakes, you know, that's something certainly that will bear watching. But the Jaguars' offensive line hasn't been great. And honestly, you mentioned these teams that are running the ball. You mentioned, sorry, that Jacksonville's been running the ball well. I mean, the Bengals have played some of the better rushing teams in the NFL. Pittsburgh, not one of them, because their offensive line is awful and they use their first-round pick on a running back instead of an offensive lineman. But the first two teams that the Bengals played this year, the Vikings and the Bears, have been running the ball pretty well, or had been, you know, going into those games. And the Bengals' interior defensive line and linebackers have played, and edge guys, you know, give the edge guys credit too, Sam Hubbard and Trey Hendrickson, have all played really well against the run this year. I would be surprised if Jacksonville's really able to get the run game going. I mean, there's probably some room for some running there, but this is the strength of the Bengals defense. So if you make Trevor Lawrence beat you and you make him be patient, this is what he struggled with in the NFL, is finding the checkdowns and not forcing the ball downfield. And he's getting those passes intercepted by trying to do too much. And he does have good downfield weapons in Marvin Jones and DJ Chark, but you know, he's a rookie and the game's still going a little bit quick for him. And on a Thursday night, if you can confuse him a little bit, which the Bengals have done successfully to Ben Roethlisberger and Justin Fields so far this year, there should be opportunities for takeaways in the secondary.
Yeah. He's got 9 turnovers, and you know, this is one of those games where you think, oh, Bates might get 2 or 3 if he's out there, right, and have a huge day. And so without him, no, Logan, I agree.
Wilson, baby.
Yeah, for sure. Right. Leading the league, you know, just continues to extend that lead with interceptions. But I think the thing that they've done a lot, and I saw a stat, it was probably PFF. It sounds like a PFF stat. Like, Marvin Jones has been great on play action. And so I think that's part of it. If you can take away the run and you put them in these situations that they probably don't want to be in. I know Joe Burrow's advice to Trevor Lawrence, or to Urban Meyer with Trevor Lawrence, was try to be as balanced as you can with the rush. Yeah. And I think they had 34 pass attempts, 29 runs last week against Arizona. So they were close to balanced. And I think really for the first time this year. So you'd expect the Jags to try to be that way. So two things, the two things that scare me. I agree with you. Like, it would be great if you forced Trevor to dump it off. But with Bates out and Awuzie, I'll just go ahead and rule him out. I'd be shocked if he played, which stinks. I just think it's the reality that the Bengals are looking at. Lawrence, I think, is going to have some downfield opportunities. And they're going to be able to push the ball down the field. And so that's why it's extremely important, especially early, to hit him and get to him and make him uncomfortable and make him feel you. He's athletic, and that's another part of it. You want to talk about Burrow's mobility in the pocket and moving and making guys miss. Well, Lawrence can do that. He's got all the physical tools, and so that's the part of it. But if you hit him, then maybe he does get rushed a little bit, or the throw's a little off, or he does misread something. And so that, to me, from a defensive standpoint, is the key. Don't let James Robinson go off early and then get the Lawrence. And then on the flip side, offensively, I think it's time to unleash Burrow. I don't know how you feel about it. The Jags defense has been pretty good against the run so far this year. It's a 3-game sample size. I'm not saying they won't be able to run the ball with Joe Mixon. I saw him shred the Jaguars last year at Paul Brown Stadium. At the same time, I think that this is the other Joe. I think this is a Joe Burrow game where he throws up a bunch of passes and is dominant and shows Urban Meyer that, well, he should have been starting for Ohio State all those years ago.
Yeah, that'll be a fun storyline to watch, right? I mean, he's never going to admit to it, but we'll see. You know, we'll see if there's any looks to the Jaguars sideline. You know, probably not. Probably won't be anything. Joe's pretty good about controlling that.
Yeah, I don't think he's Baker Mayfield that way. Yeah, I don't think he's Baker Mayfield where he's going to throw the ball to him or anything. But
no, I mean a look.
Yeah, I think he does want to stick it to him the same way Tom Brady wants to stick it to Bill Belichick a little bit.
Yeah,
there's still respect there.
Yeah, I mean that's what I mean. Right. Like, yeah. do you see any little something? But again, I don't think that's necessarily the case. The thing is, the Bengals on offense in this game should be able to do whatever they want. I don't care what Jacksonville has done against the run. Like, Arizona isn't a team that runs the ball particularly well. They played the Texans, who were before Jacksonville became apparently the worst or the second worst team in the league, thought to be the worst or second worst team in the league. And Tyrod played a Ty God game, and he was really good in that game. But I mean, it's not like they've played teams that are offensive juggernauts and should be running the ball super well. Who they play in week two? Do you recall?
Off the top of my head, no, but I can pull it up. I was just looking at it too. I'll pull it up.
I just feel like, yes, Joe Burrow should be able to have a nice game. They shouldn't have anybody who can really handle Ja'Marr Chase one-on-one. Ja'Marr Chase, by the way, the number one graded PFF wide receiver in one-on-one matchups.
The Broncos.
So the Broncos can actually run the ball okay. And I think Melvin Gordon actually ripped off a 70-yard run, or maybe that was in week one. I could be wrong on that. But point is, I feel like the Bengals should be able to do whatever they want on offense in this game. They should be able to run the ball on early, you know, first down. They should be able to pass the ball on second down. They should be able to do play action if they want to do it. They should get deep shots. They should be able to, when Ja'Marr Chase gets one-on-one coverage, hit him downfield because, like I said, he's really good in those one-on-ones, and I don't think Jacksonville has anyone that can cover him in those one-on-ones, and they should be able to exploit the middle of the field with Tyler Boyd if they want to. And yeah, there's a really good question. Is this a game where they start to use their tight ends, right? I think the tight ends for this team have like a cumulative two targets between them, and I'm obviously being a little hyperbolic there, but they're not using their tight ends, and is this a week for that? Joe Burrow did praise Miles Jack, who is maybe the only player you know on this Jacksonville defense, if you don't look up their roster. Sure. Sure. Josh Allen.
Kalavon Chason.
Does not concern me. Like, if Riley Reiff was out, I would be like, fine. Deal with Kalavon Chason. You'll be fine. Point is, I've said it a few times, they should be able to impose their will on the Jacksonville defense. And if they go out there and score 27 points, 30 points, 34 points, you know, put on a show. Thursday night home crowd, let's go. I'm going to be there. I want a show. You know, they should win the game.
And they should put up 30. I'll go ahead without T. I still think, like, that's the expectation. I get they haven't done it. There's certain reasons why, you know, you're not going to necessarily do it in Pittsburgh and you're going to play it the way they did. Well, Joe seems to be back. They have the best rookie receiver by far so far. And I think he'll probably see some doubles, which means, guess what? TB all day. Joe Mixon out of the backfield, the tight ends, maybe on Tate Skies over at Jaguars defensive back for a huge TD. Look, I think you're right. No matter what the Jags do, this offense should go boom and through the roof on Thursday night and make it known. Like, because look, you know, the Bengals moved up in power rankings this week and, you know, it was a big win. You know how many people still question them? Everyone. I still have my questions about them. So guess what you do? You go out there against a bad team and you kick their ass and you beat them 31-10 or 31-15 or 31-21. But you just put up a bunch of points. And then if you're Zach Taylor, you're like, look, we're moving in the right direction. We'll get healthy and we'll see Green Bay next week. That's what a 9-8 type team, that's what they would do in this situation. So we'll see if the Bengals can do it.
And it's not like they've never done it against bad defenses. They did find ways to put up points in masses against some bad defenses last year, and this is not a very good football team. So this is one of those games, if their mind is in it, if they have a good plan, if they've been able to get it right on a short week, and the short week is a factor, Thursday night football has a lot of randomness to it, this is a game they should win. And that's why we talked about it as a trap game, right? Because Jacksonville has been a disaster so far this year. And yeah, maybe the Bengals aren't very good. And that's what a lot of you argued when you were upset that we talked about it as a trap game. You said they haven't earned the ability to even have trap games yet. I think this is a definition of a potential trap game if the Bengals don't come out prepared. So let's hear from Tony. You're a Locked On NFL co-host. You guys got to talk about your teams a little bit, and he's going to join us coming up next.
Yeah, we'll do that in just a second, but I got to give my quick prediction. 31-21. We'll see if I can get it right this week. I got the Bengals 31-21 with the secondary. I think the Jags score some points, but overall it's time for Burrow to cook. And yeah, 31-21 in front of Jake Lisco. And Jake's right. He said it. I picked him up from the airport on Tuesday. And part of the reason why Jake was breathing just amazingly clean, fresh air in my 2014 Toyota Corolla 6-speed manual is because of rockauto.com. And we talk about rockauto.com all the time here. Look, the cabin air filter, the engine air filter, those things could cost hundreds of dollars to replace at your car dealership or your local shop that you go to, or you could do it on your own in about 2 minutes and save a bunch of money by getting your parts from rockauto.com. They're a family-owned company. They've been in the business for more than 2 decades, and maybe you want to do something a little more serious to your car and not just do, you know, oil or filters like that, and you want to change a fuel pump or something more in-depth. They have all the parts you're looking for in one spot. So don't leave your house to find the best parts. Save money, save time with rockauto.com. Go there now and make sure you write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com.
James's car was nice. It was a nice ride in from the airport with my terrible photograph of the cut in the hill skyline of the Cincinnati, the lovely city of Cincinnati. This show is also brought to you today by betonline.ag, which has a lovely updated site and interface that makes it easier to use than ever before and brings you more odds, props, and contests than they've ever had before. Betonline.ag continues to be your number one choice for everything football, whether it's college or pro, prop or parlay. Betonline.ag will have you covered. Go to the website right now. And when you sign up today, if you're a first-time user, use promo code NFL100. You're going to get a 100% welcome bonus on your first deposit. They are going to double your initial deposit. Go over to BetOnline right now. Like I said, betonline.ag, promo code NFL100. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
Let's keep things rolling on a crossover Thursday, a Thursday night edition, as the Cincinnati Bengals host the Jacksonville Jaguars. He's Tony Wiggins. I'm James Erpine. And let's focus on the Jags, Tony, because to me, I look at it and Trevor Lawrence, I think he's a really, really good quarterback already. And I'm sure he's making some rookie mistakes. But DJ Chark put on a show for Bengals fans last year at Paul Brown Stadium. And I know what he's capable of because, well, I play fantasy football. So a lot of our listeners probably do too. And then you got Marvin Jones, who Bengals fans certainly know about. And I think he's still balling. James Robinson, fantasy football wise, he got going last week, by the way. So my fantasy team thanks the Jags for that. To me, this offense should be pretty good. How have they been so far this season and why do I feel like they've struggled more than they've had success?
Identity and trying to figure it out. I do think with Urban Meyer coming into the NFL, you know, you could go around NFL training camps every year and there's a schedule. You go to Bengals, I go to Jaguars. But then when you see other guys that talk about it, that cover the team for a living, they talk about the schedule, like where everyone is and what everyone's doing. There's a lot of time spent this summer on competition days and quarterback competitions. And I think it was Urban Meyer taking the approach where he's going to get to know every single player on the roster. Loves players. Comes from college where they got about 100 of them running around, right? In the NFL, you can't do that. When you're the guy who sets the table to navigate the ship, you're responsible for personnel. You make picks, you make players. It's not subjective anymore. Because trying to be subjective when you have those roles is also like having plausible deniability, right? When you choose a guy, number one, that's your guy. Yeah, he's not in a competition. The only competition is you're going to say, okay, well, let me see if he's ready to go. And if he's not, I don't want to put him in a position to hurt himself. But the guy you were going to have playing in front of him in Gardner Minshew, he actually started as a rookie. So it's almost as if you can't say the guy's a generational talent and he's the reason you took the job. And now you got him in a competition with a guy who you traded away who wasn't even active for the Eagles last night. That doesn't make sense. It's just pretty much a waste of time. Having Tim Tebow come in here because he was the greatest competitor you ever knew, but you're a stickler for guys who buy in and you're a stickler for guys who put the work in, but you go get a guy to try to make him play tight end who hasn't played football for 8 years. And he never played that position before. All of these things to me are oxymoronic in nature. You just can't do that. There is no quarterback competition when you draft a guy number one overall. You know, and I think it was just a lot of wasted time. And I think he's been out-coached. He's been out-coached because the team has been out-prepared and they don't have an identity. And you see it. Now, you see it getting progressively better. But as he gets better, so is everybody else. And he's always going to be a step behind. And I think it's because of the approach he took in training camp.
Yeah, to me, that's crazy to think about. Because if you just put, you know, Zach Taylor and Urban Meyer on paper, I'm taking Urban Meyer 10 times out of 10 from a football coach standpoint. Experience-wise, how many rings he's got, success he's got. And again, I look at that offense and I'm like, man, they should be pretty good. They should. So where's the hope right now in Jacksonville then? Because they're 0-3. You just said it. Urban's behind. He was adjusting to life in the NFL, which, again, some of this stuff, a simple call or two to some head coaches that I knew he was aware of and has relationships with in the league probably could have solved that. So what's next for this team in finding that identity and trying to establish itself as it moves forward?
I think he realizes now that, and he should have realized this before, Vic Fangio says that after game two, when they lost to the Broncos, that Urban came up to him after the game and shook his hand. And he goes, it's like playing Alabama every week. And the funny thing is he'd only played the Texans and the Broncos. So I'm thinking, like, you think that's like playing Alabama every week? Wait till you have to line up against the Rams later on this year. Or what if you had to line up against Tampa Bay or the Chiefs or the Cowboys or something? And we'll talk about that, too, at some point, Jimmy. But what if you got to line up against Myles Garrett every week? You ask Justin Fields what he thinks about how slow the NFL is right now. So it's like you ain't seen Alabama yet, bro. You haven't. So I don't know if he thought or if he's just such used to the talent level being different that he's going to outwork, out-condition, out-performance program. These guys have been lifting weights too. These other teams have millions of dollars, and these other guys have doctors and trainers too. You're not going to outdo anybody that way in the NFL. You know how you outdo anybody in the NFL? You out-draft them. You out-talent them. And you out-motivate them. That's it. It's not all of this other stuff that where you think you can be this great leader of men. In the NFL, the great leaders of men find they don't lead out front. Like they find a way to step back and just sort of act like a wizard and make everybody come together. You know what I'm saying? Because you got guys that are grown men and they have to be themselves. So I just think he's slowly going to learn that that's not it. You know, you ain't tricking nobody. You're not going to sit here and run a spread offense and run everybody one way. They did a play the other day, man. It is driving everyone around here crazy where they had momentum and they were running the ball. And I said, okay, it's time. Now that you got Arizona hurting, you can take a shot. They try to flea flicker from inside of their own territory. So in that situation, usually coaches will shy away from it because you're worried about the ball handling issue within your own red zone.
Yeah,
no problem. The pitch was perfect. The play was perfect. Buda Baker bit. DJ Chark was 10 yards behind him. The problem is JJ Watt was right in the face of Trevor Lawrence and he threw a pass to the outside that was picked off by Byron Murphy in return for a touchdown. Yep. Well, the reason why he didn't go deep is because the offensive lineman, if you watch the tape, did a 360 pirouette. It came out in the press conference later on because Juwan Taylor, the other offensive lineman, was asked about it and he said, oh no, he was supposed to do that. It's called a whirly bird. And it helped sell the fact that the opposite side, the run went the other way.
Oh,
you did a whirly bird in front of a first ballot Hall of Famer who goes, yeah, whirly bird this. and I ain't buying it. And he was right in Trevor's chin, and it was a pick six. And they're blaming the coaching staff. They're blaming everybody. I blamed the offensive lineman at first until the other offensive lineman told me, no, that's what he was coached to do. See, that stuff doesn't work. You ain't Whirly Burton, J.J. Watt. No, you need to you can kill that. You know what I'm saying?
This isn't Middle Tennessee State week one, sir. At the Shoe.
No, sir. I thought the kid just lost his way or something, and I was, I'm sorry, he just ain't that good, until I found out that's what they told him to do. So that's the kind of stuff when you ask in a nutshell, get rid of Whirly Birds and that doesn't work. Just block him straight up and make the dude bite and throw the ball. That's it. You're getting too cute.
Let me ask you this then, because, we could get into position groups and deep dive into the defense and offense. It's a short week, and I don't know how much anyone wants to necessarily hear that, but paint the scenario where Urban Meyer on a short week, they did have a 19-11 lead over Arizona at one point before the Whirly Bird and the complete breakdown that happened in week three. How does this Jaguars team beat a Bengals team that's at home, that has momentum? By the way, I do think, and we could talk about this if you want, but I think Joe Burrow is going to be a little extra motivated to go up against Urban Meyer, even though he's not going to admit it. Anyways, how do they beat the Bengals? Paint that scenario for me.
I'm glad you mentioned Urban Meyer and Joe Burrow, because Urban actually called Joe Burrow and asked for his advice, according to him, about how he should proceed with Trevor. So how can the Jaguars beat the Bengals? The Bengals have to commit turnovers. The Bengals have to come in and do what Arizona did and underestimate the fact that what I just said, that these are NFL players on the other side of the field, guys that are hungry. The Jaguars really do a good job of stopping the run. So if you think you're just going to take Joe Mixon running them up, that ain't going to happen. They're very good in their front seven. They're solid. They're not great, but they're solid in their front seven. And then they tackle real well in the open field. So the Bengals are going to have to be patient. And then the Bengals, if they're going to beat Jack, if the Bengals get impatient and they're not able to hit big plays, you're playing right into Jacksonville. And Jacksonville really they can run the football. So it's going to test the Bengals front seven. Because these guys are getting 5 and 6 yards a carry. So the stats say that they shouldn't be losing these games. But, I think the Jaguars are going to slowly, slowly get better. And I think if the Bengals are overconfident, the Jaguars can sneak up on them.
Yeah, no, I agree. And that's the thing. That's the scenario for me that we've talked about this week on Locked On Bengals is handling success, right? And I get it. They're only 2-1. But this is a young team, and it's hard to me coming off of that emotional win in Pittsburgh. You're like, oh, it's the 0-3 Jags. And maybe that comes from Burrow saying, no, let's keep our head in it so I can stick it to the guy that wouldn't play me at Ohio State. And then the guy that I beat in the national championship game a few years ago, show that I'm better than him. Cause I think most evaluators have Trevor Lawrence ahead of Burrow as far as a prospect is concerned, but that's neither here nor there, but either way, we'll have you covered, and that's going to do it for today's episode of Locked On Bengals. Shout out to you, as we're so excited to be reaching all of you ahead of this Thursday night matchup. We'll be back at it after the game, so who knows? Maybe we'll get a Cincinnati edition of the Woo from Jake Lisco. Stay tuned for that. Make sure you hit subscribe, and until next time, in the immortal words of Jake Lisco, hoo day, and have a good one.